going to talk about designing relationships to nature. And the primary question in this paper and presentation, really, is about how we can address, how architects can address climate change by designing to place people into significant relationships with nature. That's a question. So the approach is to ask what we believe nature is first, and then how do we design with that idea of nature in order to get people more experientially connected and more consciously related. So in 2003, this was the cover of Metropolis magazine, a famous design magazine in New York, and architects began to wake up to the idea that buildings use about half the world's energy and that they run almost entirely on fossil fuels. And therefore, buildings are responsible for about that much climate change. Buildings in the U.S. are equal to transportation and industry energy combined. So it's a kind of big elephant that most people don't know about, don't talk about, but we're starting to get a sense that, wow, this stuff that we live in all the time and operate is really a great way to address the issues of climate change. Back in 2011, I wrote this book, Integral Sustainable Design, which Suzanne was the editor for, and which explored 16 different perspectives on sustainable design using the integral model, four levels, four quadrants. You can imagine how you get to 16. So I did use the four quadrant model, but the biggest problem that architects and engineers and people in the building industry have in trying to deal with climate change is that they're all stuck over here in the upper right, which is interested in maximizing performance. You know, use less stuff, recycle, use some renewable energy, everything's okay, right? Not so, really. It leaves out 3/4 of the world. You can also think about using sustainable design to guide ecological flows. There are ecological patterns involved. And from the lower left, we ask the question, how do we manifest meaning through the form and organization of buildings? And there, the primary question is, how are we connecting people to nature? And that's the theme for this talk. Also on the upper left, also kind of related to this, because individuals have experiences, we're interested in how do you make architecture that orchestrates rich human experiences of nature, natural form, natural process, and so forth. Now, worldviews, as you know, also manifest with different expressions, and they manifest with different expressions in architecture. So here are just one example of a traditional building, a modern building, a postmodern building, and an integral building. So the one on the lower right, I think of as integral because it includes and transcends various kinds of strategies and approaches from all the previous levels. Now, in language, we use metaphors and figures of speech as a way of constructing narratives and also as a way of talking about nature and explaining our relationships to it. And designers often use metaphors as a way to begin or to talk about their own design process. So at the traditional level, we find all kinds of metaphors out there, like nature as a primeval garden, or nature as the great wilderness, or nature as a lost paradise, or the Garden of Eden, and so forth. And here's the deal, from that perspective, climate change doesn't exist. It doesn't operate, it doesn't have a scientific or a meta-scientific view. It's not present, and that's okay. But we just have to remember that. But no matter whether, and this is an interesting idea really, is no matter when you are designing or building, you can actually access and use the wisdom and the truth and what works, the workability, from each level, no matter how old it is, right? This is a modern building in India where I call it connecting to nature's primal force and structure. And one way to do that is a strategy called migration. And migration just means that you move from place to place. It could be room to room, or it could be within the room, or it could be, you know, moving from one house to another, based on changes in conditions. Right? You want to go where it's more comfortable. So Charles Correia designed this building with two sections. It's the winter section here, which is exposed to the sun. It's on the east side of the building in a hot climate. You live up on the terraces and so forth. In the summer afternoons, you go down here into the summer section, you retreat into the interior of the building away from the sun, and it's designed to be ventilated. And then there's a third piece of the section, which is the service core on the west side. It's only got one little window over there, so it keeps the sun out in a hot climate. another contemporary building with traditional design strategy that connects us to nature. One thing we can do is to try to look at the polarities or to expand the different conditions. This one, I call this strategy inhabiting the three realms. And the three realms are the subterranean, the surface, and the sky, the heavens. Those are like the elements of many traditional cosmologies. So this is a house by Antoine Predock in Texas. And it's like that's the entry to the house. So it's like you're entering into the earth, into a cave, right? You're going into the ground. This is a house for bird watchers. It's called the Theater of Trees house. So when you come through, you encounter that level where you're at the ground level, and then up the stairs, across the bridge, now you're up to another perspective on the forest. And then there's this sky ramp that zooms out into the trees, so you can really go up into the canopy of the trees and observe and experience the birds. And then by the time you get to the top of the house, this is the roof of the house up here, there's this kind of enclosed sky view, right? So you sit down and there's a wall around you so that it will direct your attention up to the stars. So integral theory, moving on to the modern, argues that self, culture, and nature kind of got pulled apart, right? And in the modern level, we begin to see metaphors like nature as the great environment, nature as a machine or clockwork, nature even as a farm for us, because nature there, of course, for us to use, its resources. And climate change becomes a technological problem. It's all about resources and energy, how we're going to manage and balance and so forth. At the modern level, we say we're interested in connecting people to nature as resources, as services. It's a cornucopia, right? It's you know, it's flowing to us all the time. And that's good, but it's also a limited resource as we begin to recognize in the modern time. So this is Luis Barragán's house in Mexico City, and he is a kind of architectural modernist minimalist. It's about the thrift of things. How little can you use in order to get away with a beautiful building? This is an enclosed terrace. And Barragán's is an architecture where space is shaped only with a few primary elements. And so instead of the stuff, it's light and color and texture that become more important. The space itself becomes forward. And we connect to nature then by a kind of ethical essentialness that metaphorically associates us with the sensitive nature of resources and materials that are provided for us by nature. So modern architecture, in general, had a rejection of ornament. Look at how little ornament there is in this room. No crown molding. And it was an expression of the industry and of its time, and of the machine age. But that minimalist aesthetic, you can also read that as a narrative of stewarding resources. It could be really efficient with modern architecture. In a temperate climate, a different, more open site, this is the Miller House in Columbus, Indiana, by Eero Saarinen. And it exemplifies this modern idea of transparency and connection, visual connections with nature. And it's also about a kind of infinite and continuous space. So the modernists adopted the Cartesian grid. Space and perspective became important. And it was like everything indoor and outdoor could extend infinitely in that Cartesian grid. And so this is a site plan. Over here on the left is a river. Then you have a kind of naturalistic zone that's in the floodplain, so they couldn't design anything over there. But then it becomes a meadow, and you see right away, everything begins to get on the grid. And then, as you get closer to the house, the garden itself is also gridified, right? And here's the house right there. I'm going to zoom in. And now you can see this is just the garden place. And here's the house. And look at all that. And these are just the enclosed spaces in the house that's kind of floating around in this sea of metaphorically continuous space that continues on to the outdoors. And you can see how that works here. Right? Again, back on the grid, back in the continuous space. It's the human order of the mind organizing a fully tamed nature. Columns are no longer at the corners, allowing the extension of roof overhangs that emphasize that horizontal connection to the landscape. The edges then become inhabitable, the walls become transparent. It's about seeking to connect rather than a wall that defines and separates. Nature and human habitation are beginning to interpenetrate. The public spaces flow from the garden to the terrace to the living areas. And this modern experiential idea of a connection to nature in a rationally idealized garden, I mean, it's gotten a lot of critique, but it's pretty darn nice, right? I mean, I could live there. And it does have its place as a powerful way to connect people to the living world. Now, move on to the postmodern. This level of consciousness shows up with two distinctly different ideas about nature, two big categories that are different. In the systems perspective, the lower right perspective, nature becomes more of a complex, interrelated web of systems and relationships, a complex, integrated systems. So we get metaphors like nature is the great web of life, right? Nature is a complex, integrated system, a food web, a bioregion, complexity, chaos. On the other hand, the lower left, postmodern critical approach, right, says, well, nature is stuff you make up. It's just culturally constructed, right? There ain't no real nature out there. So nature is a cultural construction. It's whatever perspective you have decided to take. Just be responsible for it. And nature, by the way, is a victim because human beings are not so great. And it's also like this text. You just go out and you interpret it and figure it out. So climate change has two different ideas there. Climate change is, one, bad modern humans, right? Because, you know, you just can't do anything but screw up nature, because you're human. Or, you know, it's just a construct of reality. Maybe we have to worry about it, maybe we don't. This is a house by Obi Bowman in Sea Ranch, and I call this connecting to nature as community. We're cohabiting the site with all our relations, as the Native Americans might tell us. And so in any community, the rights of everyone are present. They get to flourish. So we're connected to nature in this sense when design, when the environment that we inhabit becomes habitat, not just for us, but for all the other critters that we share the earth with. And so this strategy, one of the ways it shows up is in living walls and living roofs. The architects of this hotel in Singapore said it was designed as a hotel in a garden, and it actually doubles the amount of green space on the site because it has multiple levels of these curvaceous sky gardens that are draped with tropical plants and cantilevered every fourth level in between the guest rooms. Now, this is not the abstracted garden of the modern. It's a postmodern metaphor for an ecological landscape. People are connected to something. It's more naturalistic. It's not really a tropical jungle, but it's a lot more sophisticated than that modern, abstracted, reduced, minimalist garden. Some people would argue that these biomorphic forms are also a way to connect people to nature. If that's so, and sometimes I think it is, it's a purely postmodern, symbolic, metaphoric connection. Right? There ain't nothing living about those curves. Right? The postmodern also sees, we start to see a rise of what we call passive architecture. These are buildings that heat themselves, cool themselves, light themselves, all with natural forces. This is a solar apartment block house in Berlin, and it uses various kinds of passive solar heating systems. It uses double height solar winter gardens, direct gain solar windows, solar air collector walls, rooftop solar hot water collectors. And this kind of architecture has to engage the person. You have to get involved in the rhythms of the climate and the day and the season. And so it connects you in a very direct way when you have to operate a building related to the climate. Now, from the integral worldview, we can inhabit many different kinds of perspectives on nature. And we reweave those, hopefully, into a more accurate worldview or view of nature. So from the integral level, we begin to hear metaphors like nature as the great matrix of perspectives, right? Nature as being holarchic in some way, or as a living system, or sometimes as a living being. Climate change, then, is a developmental problem, it's an aqual problem, it's a perspectival problem, and the answers to that are in all quadrants. Now, the grand project of sustainable design, sustainable architecture from the integral level is a kind of synthesis of the natural order and the cultural order. And oddly enough, that some emphasizes some kind of continuity of all things, and yet you see it paradoxically through many views in order to build up whatever that oneness is. So we're connected to nature as a very complex set of living systems. This is a house by Glenn Murcutt in Australia. It's all about expressing the natural processes. It sits up on a barren, windswept site. It's overlooking the ocean. It's situated to use large amounts of sunlight and natural ventilation. This asymmetrical V-shaped roof and the oversized rainwater collection elements are emphasizing how the building is related to the hydrologic cycle. You can hear the sound of the rain on the roof, and when it goes down the swirl in that big drain pipe, you can hear that too. It has big, deep overhangs and high equator-facing, i.e. sun-facing walls, and the sloping roof line that comes down on the interior. All of this is saying to the people that live there and intended by the architect to fit this building carefully into its patterns of light and shade and sun and wind that are present there. This is another building by Mario Cusinella in China. And it's about ordering, creating an order based on an ecological process. It's combining all these kinds of passive heating and cooling strategies that I've been talking about, natural ventilation, daylighting, rainwater collection, solar energy generation. It generates a net zero energy building. What that means is it makes as much energy in a year as it uses. That's pretty cool. At the same time, it's got a certain amount of biophilic green going on. So in the integral, we begin to see these two trends, the passive energy patterns and the biophilic intentions, come together to give people real, connected, you know, experiences. In an echo of Barragán's house, this Maggie's Center in Scotland for patients with cancer is bounded by a perimeter wall with enclosed gardens, and like the modern Miller house, it's connected to the landscape with transparent walls, expressing a continuity of indoor and outdoor space, right, but not abstracted in the same way that the garden in the Cartesian grid is. The views are more controlled to spaces that are open to sky. The building is a quilt of courtyards and rooms, which you can see in this plan. The white is the roof of the building. There's four courtyards inside the building. There's an entry courtyard here, there's a big garden here, and also both hardscape and softscape spaces in that courtyard. It's a building for healing, so patients experience nature as the healer. And there's also a real focus on the delight, the joy of forwarding nature and its natural processes. These are big sun-collecting elements in the top of the courtyard. So it's a deep connection with nature, driven by design. And then finally, at the transpersonal level, and we can talk about whether this, I got it right, the states and stages and all that, but this is the simple view. You know, we're looking for what the self, what the cities call the self, and how it connects to the nature. And is it probably the same? Because here we can begin to have a nature mysticism. We can begin to connect with everything that's arising in the manifest world. And so we begin to hear metaphors like the great self arising, nature as the dance of Shakti, nature as the abode of spirit, the place where you began to have possibilities of connecting. And so climate change requires some enlightenment, right? And paradoxically, maybe again returning, everything's perfect. It's not a problem. At the transpersonal level, we're connected to nature when we perceive, in design, the consciousness that animates all things. Strategically, architects focus on beauty. They light a fire with beauty. This is Faye Jones, kind of an organic unity in Arkansas, what we call the Thorn Crown Chapel. So there might not be a greater access to the expanded experience of the self than that deep and radical aesthetic response that we often find in nature. So as one's beloved is access to the compassionate aspect of ultimate reality, the experience of beauty is also the access where we can know nature as the unified action of spirit. In all these ways and more, Design can help to connect people to nature. People can be connected at their own level, in their own awareness, in their own understanding of nature, and there are many of those. Experience of nature creates a relationship. And when you have a relationship with something, then you start to take meaningful action in care of that thing that you're in love with now. And that's what we need. What we're missing. What we're missing. Do you have a connection of nature in that big hall? Can you open your window in your room? I can't. Yeah, it's not there. We live in a world where we're increasingly separated. Right? And that's the power. That's the opportunity also. So we need every level of designing with nature to help solve the climate crisis. Thanks.